how good it is to be at church today, even though there's no one here. Last week we met together outside. This week it's just me and you out there in Facebook land. But let me encourage you that God is with us. Wherever we are, God is with us. So I greet you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We're going to have a very short time together today. Just a couple of words from Karen, a couple of words from me. Brittany's going to read the word to us. But hopefully we'll still be able to stay connected, because that's the most important thing at this time. Whatever you do, try and stay connected. Now, through the week I was talking to Karen and she had an idea about the fact that Paul the Apostle Paul, who wrote a lot of the books in the New Testament, had to self-isolate at times, not by choice. He was put in prison. He was put in prison for preaching the word. And when he was in prison, he had to write encouraging letters to all the churches that he started throughout the Mediterranean. So he realized the importance of staying in contact. But he was already in the habit of doing that, of staying in contact, because he would start a church, he would stay there for a month or two, or maybe a year or two, and then he would leave to start another church. And so he had to come back. If he couldn't come back, he wrote letters of encouragement to them. So I'm going to read to you from Thessalonians, when Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica. Try and say that three times really fast. Well done. Well done, those who did that. And because Paul has three prayers in the first letter to the Thessalonians, at the beginning of his letter, right in the middle, and right at the end. So I'm going to read you that first prayer right at the very beginning as an encouragement to you today. And Paul writes, "Grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you." Let's pray. Thank you, God, that you have chosen us. Thank you, God, that you love us. And as we continue our encouragement today, I pray that we will show that love to our community and everybody we come in contact with. So we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So let me quickly share with you a couple of things that are happening, things that aren't happening. Obviously, we're having no church. We are also having no face-to-face contact in our normal sort of groups that we have through the week for the foreseeable future. But there are two things that we are doing, and one of them is our Tuesday night meal, which is available as a takeaway. So if you want to come down between 5 and 6, if you are able, then please do that. Come for a takeaway meal. If you are not, please contact Karen, myself, or the office. We will see what we can organise for you. Also, our Connect site is running Monday to Friday, specifically between 10 and 11. Now, this is for people who've reached out to the Salvo assessment line and have come to get their assessment that they've been granted by the Salvation Army, but also people can come from the community, and if we have fresh fruit and vegetables and other things, we will give those out. So if you need to reach out, come between 10 and 11. But if you can't come at that time or you can't come at all, again, give the office a ring, or ring Karen or myself, and we will see how we can help you in your home. If you belong to the Clowns of Salvation Army, hopefully you have received a pastoral care call this week. James and Jan have organised a pastoral care team so that everybody in the church is connected every week. So hopefully you received a phone call, and hopefully that was encouraging. If you didn't, please let me know, because I don't want anyone to miss out. The last thing I want to tell you about is the fact that this is our self-denial week. And normally we would have an altar service here, and you would have a chance for you to give towards the self-denial appeal. Now, obviously we can't do that in person this Sunday, but you would have received a letter from us outlining other ways that you can do that. Maybe you received a text a few minutes ago from the self-denial team of the Salvation Army offering you ways to do that. There's so many ways you can do that digitally, sending your information back, or we can also arrange some other alternative way to collect, or for you to come in and drop that in. Just give us a ring if you want to give. If you want to give to self-denial, 1 week's salary on missionary service. But as we contemplate that right now, we're going to show the video that we would have showed this week had we had church, which is the song that they've had for self-denial based around the theme of love beyond. So hopefully that will show now, we'll be able to play it.
Am I on? Yeah, cool. We'll come back to that and we'll have a look at it later. And we'll also at the end share some links with you so you can see how you can find the video online and watch it at your own time. So I just want to talk about the last few weeks. We've been in a series here at the Salvation Army in Caloundra. We've been looking at the Gospel of John and examining some of the people who met with Jesus. These people's lives were amazingly transformed as they experienced a journey with Jesus. In John chapter 4, in our first week, we read about the Samaritan woman. She met Jesus at the well, and she said to the people in her community after she met him, "Come and meet a man who told me everything that I've ever done. Could this be the Messiah?" This woman undertook a great exchange. She exchanged her water for new living water. She handed over her shame and her sinful life. And in Jesus, she found a new hope, new experience of community, and a new life. Last week, we traveled along further on the journey with Jesus. We met a man who'd been born blind. This is recorded in John chapter 9. And we see in this chapter a back and forth discussion between the man himself, the Pharisees, the parents of the man, back to Jesus, then back to this man who was blind, who is now a healed and a sighted man. There are so many questions going backwards and forwards in this encounter, and so much to find out. The blind man started out not seeing, but also not knowing who this Jesus was. At the conclusion to this chapter, we see the man answering Jesus, "Yes, Lord, I do believe." And in John chapter 10, verse 38, we read, "The man bowed down and he worshipped Jesus." Not only did he now have his physical vision, he could see, but his spiritual eyes were also opened. And his heart now knew this Messiah. So continuing on with our journey with Jesus, today our journey takes us to the town of Bethany. O little town of Bethany. That's one for Brittany. When she was little, she would say, "A little town of Bethlehem." A little town of Bethany, not quite the same thing. But this was a town not far from Jerusalem. It was at the foot of the Mount of Olives. And here in Bethany, there lived a family. There was a brother, Lazarus, his two sisters, Martha and Mary. So Brittany is going to read to us this account from John chapter 11. I'm just going to check if we're okay to put the Bible reading up for John chapter 11. Good to go. Thanks, Brittany.
The death of Lazarus. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for two more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago, the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you are going back?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him." Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Jesus comforts the sisters of Lazarus. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been dead in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. And then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go."
Thanks, Brittany. I'd like to use a really familiar image today that I think you could all picture in your heads. I want you to think of a traffic light. And today I'm going to use that image of a traffic light to focus our thoughts on three things: a stop, a wait, and a go. And I'm going to start in the middle, the amber or the orange light. Now, in some other parts of Australia, as I've travelled around, I've heard some people say that Queenslanders believe that this middle light means put your foot down and get through this intersection as quickly as you can. But thanks to trafficsafe.com.au, I can tell you this: an orange traffic light is not an extension to the green light. It is a warning of the red light that is about to come on. The orange light means stop if it is safe to do so, not go through if it's possible. So today I'm going to call this light wait. Wait for Jesus. We know that Jesus heard this news, the news that Lazarus had died, this Lazarus whom he loved. He was sick and he got a message. But when we read that he heard that news, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. And then, days later, in verse 7 we read, Jesus saying to his followers, "Let's go back to Judea." Now, why wait? Why did Jesus, when he heard that news, not immediately say to his disciples, "Come on, let's get there, let's hurry back now"? When Jesus did arrive, both Martha and then her sister Mary had said to him, "If you had been here, our brother would still be alive. Why didn't he hurry there?" Jesus explained to his disciples that there was a purpose, there was a reason. There's a why behind the death of Lazarus and behind his timing. "This happened," he said. "Lazarus died so that God would be glorified. And it wasn't an accident." He tells his disciples as they start their journey that Lazarus is asleep and that they were going to go and wake him up. Now, in these encounters with Jesus that we read about in the Gospel of John, there is often this moment of confusion in the conversation. Jesus has these conversations with his disciples and it's their, "What? What do you mean? What are you talking about?" moment. So here, Jesus knew that Lazarus was dead, but he says to his disciples, "He's asleep." Jesus already knew that Lazarus would rise from the dead. He was confident in God's plan, and he was also confident in the right timing of God. Verse 15, "I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there," meaning in Bethany with Lazarus, "so that you may believe. But let us go to him now." Jesus makes the space in these encounters for that questioning, for that conversation to happen, for the disciples and for the others to work it out for themselves. He allows them to go on their own journey of understanding. How generous and how kind God is. Skipping back to the Psalms, we read, "How long? How long will you wait, Lord? How long will it be? How long will you stand back and look on?" If you take some time, and maybe you've got a bit of time on your hands this week, to look back through the book of Psalms, you'll see over and over this questioning, this discussion with God. How long? When, God? What is the right timing? And what about us right now in this time of uncertainty? Have you asked that question? How long will it be? When will this period of isolation be over? When will COVID be beaten? When will it be no more? When will these crazy times finish? Maybe you've asked that of someone around you, or maybe you've asked that question of God. I know that I have, and I've heard plenty of speculation. Some say weeks, others say months. Some say we're reopening in May. We don't know. God knows. Only God knows. Jesus said in a quite matter-of-fact way to his disciples in verse 9, "Are there not 12 hours of light, of sunlight in the day? The day goes by, the sun sets, the sun rises, the time for everything is set in place." Lazarus' life was in God's hands. This time right now, where we are, it's in God's hands. God knows. And do we believe that he knows that? Do we trust that God's timing is perfect? And I don't just mean with the coronavirus, but in all aspects of our life. We joke about praying, you know, "God, give me patience. Give it to me now." I believe that our role and our responsibility as Christian people right now in this climate, in this difficult time, is to wait. Keep on trusting, keep on praying, and stay strong. In God's time, all will be well, but we must wait. So secondly, the red light. Red light means stop. Allow yourself the time, the opportunity to stop and to be comforted by Jesus. In Jesus' day, the death of a loved one was acknowledged in a very particular way. The religious structure and the culture of the time required a particular mourning period. There really was a right and a wrong way to do this. Family and friends of the person who had died would gather and they would show their sorrow. They would be there also to comfort the family, and this was what was expected. So Jesus comes to see Martha and to see Mary, despite the warnings from his disciples that he was a wanted man. Going to Jerusalem at this time was like walking into a trap. But Jesus stopped what he was doing, and Jesus took the time to sit alongside them. And we read that Jesus wept too. In moments of confusion, as we grieve the loss of our normal life, as we grieve relationships and connection, Please know that Jesus knows and understands our sorrows. He knows how we feel. This is a time to stop, to turn to God. Allow him to be a comfort to you. Allow him to sit beside you and to weep. Allow time to feel and to respond in the right time. Again, as we read through the Psalms, there are so many comforting images there. Tim and I recently were away at the time of fellowship with the Salvation Army officers from Queensland. And as we were there, the state of our nation's health was changing rapidly. The coronavirus, everything that was going on in the news, it was just changing, not only day by day, but hour by hour. We shared a really helpful and amazing time on our final day where we prayed together and shared our thoughts, shared God's word for us, what God is saying to us at this time. And there were many verses from the Psalms that were shared. God is our rock. He is our shelter. God is our help. God will protect us and he will lead us through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil. In the midst of these verses, the message from Psalm 46:10 rang out. We read the words, "Be still and know that I am God." I'm going to ask Tim to read some selective verses from that psalm. Thanks, Tim. We're reading from the King James Version.
Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be moved, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. Selah. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah.
The psalmist wrote instructions, and in this particular psalm, he gives this directive, Selah, stop, wait. Selah is a Hebrew word that most commonly translates as stop and listen. Now, some of us are doers, some of us not so much. But some of us find it really hard to rest. We find it hard to stop. I know in conversations that I've had with some of you, you're struggling to not go out. You're struggling to not do the things that you would do to help others. You're wanting to know, is there more I can be doing? I know that it is a real problem. Maybe this is a time to learn how to stop, to take the time to meditate upon God's word. To Selah. As Jesus did with Martha and Mary, take the time to be of comfort to those who do mourn. Take time to be comforted. As Mary did on another occasion, take the time to sit at Jesus' feet, to learn from him, to soak up his company. If that is one outcome of this time that we're living through, then what a blessing that will be. So we've waited, we've trusted in God's timing, we know that at the right time, God will act in the way that is best. We've stopped, we've called upon God to comfort us as we are a comfort to others, Selah, and to wait upon him. And so finally, green, go. Lazarus, come forth, Jesus called. Lazarus had been dead and buried for 4 days. I could imagine that this would not necessarily be a pleasant experience, but Jesus knew. He was not put off. He called for Lazarus, and he gave instructions for Lazarus to be freed, to be unwrapped from his grave clothes, and to be released. Jesus called for Lazarus to come on out. The green light is on. Let's go. Now, Lazarus had waited for Jesus, but his waiting period came to a stop. Orange light turned to red when Lazarus died. But God miraculously raises Lazarus. Jesus, a great friend of Lazarus, the promised Messiah, miraculously raised this man from the dead. As he did in the beginning, Jesus, the Word, was with God when he spoke and the world came into being. When he said, "Let there be light," and there was. Jesus, standing outside this grave, spoke new life, and Lazarus lived. Jesus acknowledged God, his Father, as he prayed. "Father, I thank you that you have heard me." Before he even has asked God, he thanks that he's heard him. "I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you have sent me. All glory to God for his awesome deeds." Jesus sets us a great example there as he prays. So 2,000 years later, we read this story, and there's a reason it was recorded. It's written in John's Gospel so that we may see the glory of the Lord. Nobody expected to see a dead man walking. But our God is a God of the unexpected outcome. And the green light? Today, Jesus is calling you. Green light time. I wonder what it is that he's calling you to do, to learn. What is it that he's calling you to be? He says in the final verse of our reading today, "Take off the grave clothes and let Lazarus go." During this time, please allow Jesus to release you from a tomb, to unwrap your grave clothes and allow him to say, "Green light, let's go." So our series we've been looking at, Journeys with Jesus, continues next week. Many people journeyed with Jesus while he walked on the earth. I'd encourage you this week to spend some time reading through the book of John. Journey with those people who journeyed with Jesus. In this next couple of weeks, it's the lead up to Easter. Let's keep our focus on this great event, the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Let's look forward to that. That is what we're all about. This week, I want to encourage you to read about Jesus' entry into Jerusalem as we prepare for Palm Sunday. But you know, the journey of Jesus, the journey with Jesus, didn't end there in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Many people have journeyed with Jesus through the centuries. And these people are the faithful servants of God. They've gone before us and they leave us a legacy. The heroes of the faith and the crowds of witnesses. And now, all over the world, we continue to journey with Jesus, our risen Saviour, through the power and the presence of his Holy Spirit. Many of our lives have been transformed. They've been changed by our journey with Jesus. Reflect on your journey. Share your journey with others. Ask yourself, how's this journey going? Ask God, how is our journey going together? But maybe for you, you've stumbled across this and this is a new thing to you. It's not a thought that's occurred to you before. Maybe today you're not quite sure what to make of this. So I would encourage you to pray and to ask God what he wants you to take from this message today. Get in touch with us or get in touch with a Christian person that you know around you. Ask someone and please do that. So I leave you with this instruction, Selah. May God bless you, may he bless our nation, and may he heal our world.
You know, I was thinking at the moment that probably now more than ever, people have decided to turn inwards. And that's understandable because there's a lot of fear out there, there's a lot of anxiety. But as a Christian community, we really need to reach out, find new ways to reach out, new ways to connect with our community, new ways to connect with our church members, new ways to connect with our world. And we've been on a journey anyway of reaching out to others as we looked at our Love Beyond Self-Denial series. So hopefully we've got that ready to go. And so as we listen to the song written by Louise, that you will contemplate what it means to go beyond yourself, to reach out to others, to reach out to the community as you consider your self-denial gift this year. Thank you.
I thought I believed and I knew. For love, love comes from you.
Kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Bless you guys. Hope you have a great week. Stay in contact with each other.
Beyond love. Grace that you've given, entrusting our lives to your truth and your love as you speak.